Am I there? There we are. Okay, I'll start over. I think that God is humble. And what I mean is that he would be well within his rights, given his holiness, to respond with judgment and anger toward our sin. And yet he describes himself in the Old Testament in a number of places as the Lord God, compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Slow to anger. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. You know, the angels that rebelled against God, the one-third of the angels that rebelled against God, they don't get a Savior. But we get a Savior. And I think it's because for them, it was as clear as it could possibly be who God was. And when they rebelled, it was an absolute act of defiance. But for us, it just hasn't been that clear. It just hasn't been that clear. And so he's understanding of the fact that it's not crystal clear for us down here. I don't really know how to describe. I just think that his nature is just a little more obscure for us than it was for the angels. And he's compassionate and merciful toward us. His response is not anger and judgment upon us, because if it was, he would have to have that response to our first and every sin that we've committed, it seems to me. So when he describes himself as the Lord God, he's expressing, he has the authority, but I'm compassionate, I'm merciful, and I'm slow to anger, is what he says about himself. That's what he says about himself. And Jesus was the perfect representative of God's character when he came. It's the perfect representative. And this passage that we're going to go through here mentions that down at the bottom. It's really interesting. So this is, we're not going to hear about the birth of Jesus tonight so much as maybe his heavenly origin, and that he is the light of the world sent to us by God. So we'll jump right in. This is chapter 1 of John. Very interesting passage. It's written a little bit mysteriously. A lot of what John writes is sort of mysterious. And we'll get into that in a second. Lord, these words are they're your words, and I want you to be able to speak and say what you want this evening. You've been compassionate and merciful toward us in even sending us, or even considering and then sending us a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. So we ask tonight that you would speak beautifully, gently out of your word, and help us see Jesus as an expression of your loving kindness and your compassion, which never fail. Because he's just like you. When he came, he was like you, and he's still like you, Father God. We love you, Lord. Speak as you would please this evening, in Jesus' name. So John writes, this is the very first verses of the book of John, Gospel of John. I'll get it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Well, I think we all know who the Word is, but in actuality, in this passage, you're not actually told who the Word is until verse 14. So we can be in a little bit of suspense right here, but we know that the Word of God, in this case, is Jesus himself. And in the beginning is the three words that Genesis opens with, if you recall. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is a creation account in itself. If you look at it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that came into being through him, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. So God, in the beginning, in Genesis, created the heavens and the earth. The Trinity wasn't really clear, it wasn't very apparent in the Old Testament, but actually, the person who was doing the acting in that moment was Jesus. He was the one making this amazing universe that we have, with billions of galaxies full of billions of stars each and vast expanses of space. And you, in your intricacy, in the careful craftsmanship that he took and labored over you to create you how he wanted you to be, and delighted over you and the plants and the animals and the way everything works, that was Jesus. That was Jesus in the beginning, the instrument of God's creation, bringing it all into existence. And not one thing came into existence without Jesus himself bringing it into existence. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. Jesus came as the light, and you know who was attracted to him? Not the religious leaders who had a responsibility to recognize his coming. The people who were attracted to him were sinners. They were the ones, Jesus was called out by the Pharisees and people like that, the religious leaders who didn't have any use for people who were on the fringes of society, who were in bad shape morally and objectionable in their culture. And they were drawn to Jesus. They, unexplainably to the religious leaders of the time, were drawn to Jesus. And how can that be the case unless he was also compassionate and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness toward them? They were drawn to him. In him was life, and they could see that life. And the life was the light of mankind, and they could sense that. That was this Jesus that came to us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. The religious leaders, they didn't understand because their hearts were darkened. But the people who were in the worst shape, somehow or other, in a way, they were more open and more susceptible to the grace and the kindness of God than the religious leaders who had walled themselves off through wealth and through self-righteousness and arrogance about their interpretation of Scripture. They'd walled themselves off. But the people who were hurting the most, they could see the light of Jesus Christ. So it goes on, a man came, one sent from God, and his name was John. It's not the John that wrote this book. That was a different John. This is John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And what did he say, John the Baptist? He was baptizing people, calling them to repent from their sins, be baptized, and really get themselves into thinking about aligning their lives with God, was Jesus' message. Because he was preparing a way for the Lord. And when Jesus came, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He would point to him. Jesus was walking by. And John would talk about him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is humble, gentle humility and compassion. And he's absolutely representing God in that. He's exhibiting the character of God by being compassionate and merciful, knowing he's the one who's had to take away the sins of the world at great price to himself. So John the Baptist talked about Jesus, and this was the true light that coming into the world enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. Most people didn't really recognize who he was. Even people that followed him around for a while, sometimes they would just, they'd get crosswise of something that he said, and off they went. And there were points when a lot of his disciples would leave, but the 12 would say, well, who else has the words of life? The 12 that he had selected stayed with him. So I think it was challenging for people to understand who he was. God, even Jesus, still infinite, still not completely comprehensible to us. And yet, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. The Jews didn't accept him. Overall, Jewish people, especially the leadership and the powers within the Jewish community and the nation, overall did not accept him. They rejected him, which is why he wound up on the cross, because they wouldn't have a competitor, actually. Really sad. But as many as received him, the ones that did, received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. It was God's will to make sure some people would believe. In Revelation, there's this passage where it's in Revelation 5, and there's this scroll, and there's really important stuff in the scroll that's got to happen, and it's about the whole future of everything. And John, same guy who wrote this book, John has this vision. It's in Revelation, and he's sort of observing in heaven what's going on, and there's this scroll, and there's nobody found. They're looking around. Who can open this scroll? Who can open this scroll? And there's nobody found that can open this scroll. They're looking. And John wept because I'm sure he didn't know why, but there's something so important about this scroll. It was essential that this scroll be opened. And it's the scroll of all of the future of the kingdom from that point on. And nobody's found worthy, and he's weeping. And finally, somebody has identified who could open that scroll. And who is it? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. Why? Because he died, and with his blood, he saved some from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. Some from every different people in the world. God is determined. He's been determined since the beginning of time to have representation of every different culture and every different people in the world. Why? Because every one of those different cultures can worship him in a way that's uniquely special. Every different culture has a different worldview, and they have a different way of perceiving God that's uniquely beautiful to them, and the praise that they bring through their culture and their vision of the world is unique and special to God, and that is like a treasure to God. And so he was determined, always determined, he was going to have some of these people from all of these different tribes and people and nation, every language, to worship him and give praise to him, and for him to take delight in those cultures. So every culture is going to be represented in heaven. And Jesus was the one who made it possible. He was the one who could open the scroll, and he was found worthy to open it because he will succeed in bringing some from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. So those people will not be born of blood, nor will of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but because of the will of God. His gospel will prevail across the earth. And people will be saved from all of these different tribes and tongues. Now, here's the surprise. The Word became flesh. It was Jesus. And dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Skipping up a couple of verses. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him. To read this again. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, the Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him. Jesus is the explanation of the character of God. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Gentle and humble in heart. That's what Jesus is like. He's gentle and humble in heart. He's full of mercy and compassion. His first words to you are not, you messed up. His first words to you are not, you're in trouble now. His first words to you are not, get busy. It's not, get to work. It's come. Jesus' word is come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he can say that because he, like the Father, is humble. God has a right eventually. He's going to deal with sin. He's not in a hurry to do that. He's slow to anger. He'll get there eventually. And if we consistently refuse him throughout our whole lives, that will be his answer to us. But his calling to us is not to have to endure that, but instead to come and have the blessing of salvation through Jesus. Have the blessing of that. That's his calling. God is working on making sure that his gospel goes out, that people carry the word of God around the world so that all of those different people can hear. And tonight we're getting to hear. We're getting to hear this word that's been going for a couple thousand years since he came, and it's still going on, faithful to the message, and he's as great a savior as he has ever been. He's as great a savior as he's ever been. So we shouldn't find it too surprising that Jesus came born as a baby in the most humble circumstances and laid in a feeding trough. We actually shouldn't find it too surprising that he came that way, because God actually is humble. It seems to me that he's humble. And he must be in order to have that kind of grace and compassion toward us. John later writes in 1 John, same guy is writing all this stuff. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And this just puts a choice before us. Will we walk in the darkness and really lie and not practice the truth? Or will we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, walk with him as our light? When we do, we have fellowship with one another, and his blood cleanses us from all sin. How much? All. Does he leave any? Does he leave that particular one that comes to mind when you think about your sins? No, that one too. That one too. I don't know what your backgrounds are. I know that if I had to enumerate my sins, we'd be here a while. We'd be here for quite a while. But actually, not as long as you'd think, because when he cleanses you from sin, he really cleanses you deeply. And some of the things that you did, he's actually going to erase from your memory, because his cleansing is really, really good. He cleans and it doesn't leave a stain. When he cleans, he doesn't leave a stain behind. And when we go to be with him forever, we're not going to have any memory of any of that stuff, because the cleaning job's going to be perfect at that point. And that is compassion and mercy. That is a God who is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And Jesus is just like him. No challenges. Just enjoy that you are loved so much by God. If you guys could come up, we're going to have candlelight and another closing song. We'll get the lights out and get the candlelight candles going here. Paul's going to help us out with that. And when the song finishes up, you're dismissed to go have a blessed evening and just have wonderful meditations on how compassionate and merciful God has been to you. Amen. Mm-hmm.